You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Thunderbolt for May 13th, 2022. I have another rerun for you this week, but I have not actually talked to y'all for a while now, so I thought that first I'd fill in on some events that are affecting the production of this show. Some of you may have noticed that I've been airing reruns since last November. And others of you may have noticed that publication of the Thunderbolt newsletter has become very sporadic. And this is all due to all of my time and all of my energy currently being directed toward converting an old school bus into my retirement home. And I am most happy to announce on that front that the bus project proceeds apace. And barring an intervention by Murphy, I hope to be moved in by July and have all the work done by, maybe August, but more likely budget constraints will make that September. And after I'm settled into my new mobile home, I plan to resume both regular publication of my newsletter, and I will once again start producing new radio shows. Yippee. However, I am now officially announcing that I will no longer be living in Olympia whilst doing all that, and that, in fact, I am planning to relocate to Ashland, Oregon. Now, make no mistake, I still love Olympia, and overall, I consider my time here to have been very well spent. A lot of truly magic people have touched my life in a variety of ways that are invaluable, and I've met some of my favorite people I've ever known here. And basically, I've gotten a lot of love here, and that's cool. But there are actually several reasons for my planned move. One of those reasons being that my daughter has moved to Ashland. She absolutely loves it there, and I want to spend more time around her. Another reason is that I grew up in a desert. And while Olympia winters are not all that cold, they are very wet, they are very dark, and they last for entirely too long. Well, Ashland is actually a little colder than Olympia during the winter and a little warmer during the summer, Ashland only averages 9.5 inches of rain per year, as opposed to Olympia's 33 inches. And in addition, that far south, the sun is in the sky for a significantly longer period of time during the winter months. And unlike here in Ashland, when the sun comes out, you can often actually see it. Another concern I have is that Olympia is literally in the shadow of Mount Rainier, at least at certain times of the year. And there are also 4 other active volcanoes within 150 miles of here. In addition, for many thousands of years, the entire Cascadia region has been subjected to devastating magnitude 9 earthquakes on an average of once every 250 years, and it's been 322 years since the last one. If we get a Mag 9 earthquake, a good deal of the physical infrastructure throughout the entire Pacific Northwest will fall down. And these types of earthquakes are also known for triggering huge tsunamis. So since this scenario is eventually inevitable, then I think I'd rather miss that party. But the main reason I'm leaving, to be perfectly honest, is that I am totally burned out upon Olympia's large and vicious cancel culture. I had my own life ruined, and in several circles, my reputation was totally trashed, and it was all over pure bull that was not even true to begin with. And not only that, but they did all of this with widespread community support, including a couple of people who should have known better. For several reasons, I never went into all this on the radio show, mostly due to time constraints that I don't have in the newsletter, but also because most of the listeners to the radio show actually live in Seattle, and thus our local Olympia tempest was largely irrelevant to them. But I did cover all of this extensively in my newsletter, and if you are interested in the details of that shameful series of events, I would be happy to send you links to an online folder where I store all of the articles from that series. Just email me at dana98501@gmail.com. Dana is D-A-N-A. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code. Anyway, that whole experience has left me, let's say, unimpressed with the Olympia activist community overall. And I will soon be removing myself from the field of your endless circular firing squads. I plan to start hanging out in the woods with my daughter a lot more, and I plan to start producing my thunderbolts in the sunshine of Ashland. Anyway, for the last few weeks, I've been airing shows from last year, but this week I think I'm going to reach all the way back to 2015. Let's start off by shedding a little light on some corruption. Greetings, Thunderbolt enthusiasts. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for June 12th, 2015. And astute listeners will note that that is today's date. Which means that yes, I now have my new teeth, and for the first time since last February, I have a brand new Thunderbolt for you. Yes, beware, you perfidious purveyors of pusillanimous pewter. Take heart, all ye believers in truth and justice. The Thunderbolt is ready once again to blast the airwaves of Olympia with righteous indignation and moral outrage. Once again, the Thunderbolt stands ready to storm the ramparts and rush into the breach. Once again, the Thunderbolt stands ready to expose the lies and reveal the dark underbelly of prolific perfidy. And you might also hear an occasional dumb joke. Once again, humanity stands on the brink. So I think it's time to make fun of some a-holes. So over the last few months, whilst I was airing reruns of shows that were in some cases a couple of years old, I could not help but note that almost all of my pieces were still timely. Now, while this is handy for airing reruns of a political radio show, it kind of sucks because that means that, in spite of the Thunderbolt, things aren't changing. For instance, my first news bit this week is about corruption. Yes, kids, the recently ex-governor of Texas and the head of the state senate in New York have been indicted for corruption. And the governor of New York is also evidently in some kind of federal hot water. But don't get too excited, since our entire political system is now based upon a corruption or us theme. I got something you wanna know. Then a federal indictment usually means nothing more than the fact the indicted person has pissed off the wrong people. And speaking of Texas, the current governor of Texas has mobilized the Texas National Guard to watch over some U.S. Army exercises that are happening in his state. All of the liberals are enjoying a good laugh as they look for the tinfoil hats. However, I would note that the Second Amendment was written to provide for citizen militias. And I would note that part of the reason for that was so that these militias could act as a counter to federal government overreach. Since our current president claims he can legally execute people without a trial, and since executing people without a trial is the very definition of totalitarianism, then I think that every state should start following this policy. I would love to see Governor Inslee station Washington National Guard troops outside Fort Lewis and keep an eye on them. And no, I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat. And speaking of our president, in yet another validation of the official Thunderbolt policy of always assuming that everything any politician says is always a lie, unless proven otherwise, it has been revealed that our president lied through his teeth about the operation that assassinated Osama bin Laden. Mr. Obama said that the Pakistanis didn't know about the operation, much to the disbelief of many who were knowledgeable about the situation and about the players. And as usual, their skepticism was completely ignored by the media machine. But as usual, it turns out that their skepticism was well-founded. Seymour Hersh has once again rubbed my nose in my criticism of him by once again airing the dirty laundry of the Democrats. You may remember a couple of years ago, when I accused Mr. Hirsch of being a shill for the Democrats, since up to that time he only reported on Republican perfidy. Whereupon, Mr. Hirsch immediately thereafter proved me wrong and forced me to eat crow by publishing a major expose about Democratic perfidy in Obama's White House. But it was an apology I was more than happy to make. Anyway, according to Mr. Hirsch, it turns out the Pakistani intelligence not only knew where bin Laden had been the whole time, but they had been keeping him a prisoner in his Abbottabad compound since 2006.
Yowch!
In addition, Mr. Hirsch says that the Pakis not only knew all about the American operation to kill bin Laden in advance, but they even provided key assistance. Hirsch also reports that, again contrary to our president's account, a former Pakistani intelligence officer identified bin Laden's whereabouts in return for the bulk of a $25 million bounty that the Americans were paying for his head. Hirsch's article also questions the U.S. account of bin Laden's shooting, saying that there never was a firefight inside the compound and that bin Laden himself wasn't even armed. A retired American official says that U.S. claims of finding a trove of information from bin Laden's computers and documents was also a hoax. It was meant to give the false impression that bin Laden was still operationally important. And questions have also been raised about whether bin Laden was actually buried at sea. In other words, it turns out that nearly every word Mr. Obama told us about what happened on the bin Laden operation was a lie. Surprise, surprise. Not. So Mr. Obama's people are, surprise, surprise, denying the story. Tellingly, they are not only refusing to refute any of Mr. Hirsch's numeral factual assertions, it is a 10,000-word article that he wrote, but the Obama's spokesclone specifically said, there are so many details that we aren't going to take time to refute them one by one. Now, to be fair, there is some legitimate criticism of Mr. Hirsch's reporting. Many others, though, are confirming Mr. Hirsch's reporting, including some who reported the facts at the time, and of course, were completely ignored at the time. So let's just do a wait-see on this one, I guess. And now, Thunderbolt fans, I have a Thunderbolt exclusive! I was just innocently sitting in my truck on the street in front of the Westside Food Co-op the other day when suddenly and unexpectedly I found myself the recipient of journalistic manna from heaven! I saw a chicken crossing the road! Yes, your intrepid reporter saw opportunity and leaped. I immediately launched an investigation into that age-old question, why did the chicken cross the road? Well, kids, here's the result of my in-depth eyewitness accounting. Evidently, there is something that lives in grass that is under a fir tree that chickens like to eat. And evidently, whatever that thing is, does not live in grass that is not under a fir tree. My evidence is that after crossing the road, the chicken immediately made his way to the fir tree and then slowly worked his way around the tree, busily munching on stuff that was in the grass. Then, after completing a circle around the tree, the chicken wandered off down the dead-end street and disappeared. So there you have it. The next time someone asks you why did the chicken cross the road, you now have the documentary evidence to answer their question. And now, the Thunderbolt presents General Electric Lies You Can Believe In. Yes, kids. MSNBC, supposedly a voice for progressives, is owned by General Electric. General Electric is one of the largest and one of the most heinous war profiteers on our planet. Whenever the Obama wants to bomb someone, then MSNBC is ever ready to play its designated role as a cheerleader. MSNBC is actually bipartisan, though, in that they favor wars by both Democrats and Republicans. Now, Richard Engel is an MSNBC reporter. He used to be a favorite on the Rachel Maddow show, but I just searched her website, and evidently Rachel Maddow is not so buddy-buddy with Mr. Engel these days, as I couldn't find any mention of him on her show in recent times. Even though Mr. Engel is currently himself quite newsworthy. Now, Rachel Maddow also works for MSNBC, which, as previously mentioned, is owned by General Electric. So you see the problem. So anyway, Richard Engel was working in Syria back in 2012 when he was allegedly kidnapped. Now this is back in the good old days when the Obama was trying to gin up a war with Syria, but we stopped him in his tracks. At least temporarily. But during the time that Obama was trying to start his war, Mr. Engel stated upon his release that he had been Shiites loyal to Bashar al-Assad, the arch-evil president of Syria and enemy of the United States, that had kidnapped him. Now, I describe Mr. Engel's kidnapping as alleged because it now appears that he lied through his teeth about nearly every aspect of it. Well, it appears he was indeed kidnapped. It turns out that it was those American friends in the Free Syrian Army that your taxpayer dollars were arming at the time who had actually kidnapped Mr. Engel rather than Assad's people. So gee, why would Mr. Engel say those things then? He is now claiming that the kidnappers must have played an elaborate ruse upon him to convince him that they were pro-Assad Shias, when actually they were anti-Assad Sunnis doing a sort of false flag attack. However, there is evidence that both MSNBC and Mr. Engel knew for a long time, if not at the time, that his kidnappers had actually been members of the pro-American, except when they're not, Sunni anti-Assad Free Syrian Army, who later transformed into ISIS, our newest arch-enemy du jour. So even though they evidently knew the truth, both MSNBC and Mr. Engel continued to publicly stand by their story until finally their pants were pulled down and their privates were exposed to public view. Now, there is a website called The Angry Arab, and I just recently became aware of this website, but this gentleman seems to know his stuff on this stuff. And he wrote at the time that Mr. Engel was telling a bullshite story. Almost quote. The Angry Arab knew this from watching a video at the time that the kidnappers had released wherein they paraded Mr. Engel for public view. So if the Angry Arab can spot the fraud through watching a video, then how gullible is Mr. Engel, who was there in person, who is fluent in Arabic, and who supposedly knows the turf? Well, I think we can rest assured that Mr. Engel was at best responding to some government and or MSNBC official who wanted him to lie in order to cover up embarrassing information about an ally. Or at worst, Mr. Engel was a willing participant in a false flag operation. Now some may ask, would an ambitious up-and-comer like Richard Engel knowingly utter falsehoods in order to assist in MSNBC's never-ending efforts to involve the United States in those never-ending wars that provide so much profit to General Electric? Yep. Standing up and doing the right thing is what advances you in corporate media world, not kissing the ass of the likes of General Electric. Especially when they are signing your massive paycheck, and especially when they have life or death control over your lucrative and exciting career. And besides, doing any of that would be unethical. And on that note, we're going to take a quick station break. We'll be back in just a minute.
This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to part two of the Thunderbolt. So, Stars is airing a biography of Martha Mitchell. And Martha Mitchell is a lady who virtually no one knows was the original Watergate whistleblower. But nobody believed her. Since I did a Thunderbolt upon Martha Mitchell nearly 4 years ago, I decided this would be a good time to replay it. This piece is called The Martha Mitchell Effect. Enjoy. I am now going to describe, for your edification and for your education, a phenomenon known as the Martha Mitchell Effect. Now, Martha Mitchell was probably the most important actor in the whole Watergate scandal that you've likely never heard of. The Wikipedia entry on Watergate does not even mention her role, in fact. However, 3 years after he left the White House, Richard Nixon himself speculated that Watergate might possibly have never happened at all if not for Martha Mitchell.
There's always been a mystery about the drum.
Now, Martha Mitchell was the wife of John Mitchell. John Mitchell was not only Richard Nixon's attorney general, but Nixon called him his most trusted friend and advisor. Around the White House, John Mitchell was known as the Deputy President. So John Mitchell ended up basically falling upon his own sword in an ultimately failed attempt to protect Richard Nixon. Now, Martha Mitchell was a bon vivant girl around town who was known for drinking a lot and for talking a lot. Now, this was problematic as Martha Mitchell also regularly spied upon her husband. She read his correspondence. She would eavesdrop upon official conversations. She would read his mail. And as a result, Martha Mitchell knew a lot of very clandestine stuff. In addition, Martha Mitchell was also known for brutal honesty and for not pulling punches over much of anything. She was known as the mouth of the South, in fact. Martha Mitchell would often get drunk and then call reporters late at night. A comedy show at the time gave her a mock award from AT&T for providing AT&T with so much business. Now, these habits definitely did not endear Martha Mitchell to Richard Nixon's people. And in fact, methods for muzzling Martha Mitchell were sometimes discussed during cabinet meetings. At first, Nixon's people tried to actually keep the Watergate thing a secret from Martha Mitchell. Now, when Watergate first broke, John Mitchell left his wife in California in order to go to Washington and deal with the situation. And in his absence, he assigned an FBI agent to watch over his wife. He ordered the agent to keep her away from newspapers or telephones because he knew that she knew too much, and he knew that she would likely start running her mouth about it. And indeed, Martha Mitchell tried to blow the whistle on the whole Watergate thing right out of the gate. Martha Mitchell did not think that a strong and noble man such as her husband should sacrifice himself for a weak and insecure little piece of crap such as Richard Nixon. Now, the effort to keep the Watergate scandal a secret from Martha Mitchell ultimately failed because Mrs. Mitchell personally knew James McCord. And so, when she saw McCord's picture on the front page of the newspaper as one of the Watergate burglars. And especially when she later heard her husband on the television machine denying that McCord had ever played a major role in the Nixon machine, when she knew damned well otherwise, Martha Mitchell cried foul. Or she tried to cry foul.
As he did so, her body slumped backwards.
That fixed expression.
At first it was when he saw her eyes and sleeping. She was already dead.
Oh, yes.
She was prevented from doing so
Dan.
By literally holding her prisoner in that motel room for several days. Eventually, she was held down.
Oh, yes. Called her name.
And tranquilized against her will.
And your party, Jazz.
At one point,
baby's gone blue.
The FBI agent literally ripped the phone out of the wall, even as Mrs. Mitchell was speaking with the legendary journalist Helen Thomas, who, upon hearing
who are we going to send flowers to?
Mrs. Mitchell yelling at someone
who are we going to send flowers to?
To get away from her, before hearing the line suddenly go dead, Helen Thomas then tried unsuccessfully to reestablish contact with Mrs. Mitchell.
God.
For the next several days.
Dead.
When Martha Mitchell finally did start talking, the Nixon people then launched into a systematic campaign to discredit Martha Mitchell by branding her as a crazy drunk. And their effort largely succeeded.
Your body, Jess.
Later, they had Martha Mitchell legally declared to be mentally incompetent. So Martha Mitchell has now been largely forgotten. Her hometown did erect a monument to her, and the inscription says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." After her death, one of the eulogies wrote that freedom and honesty meant more to her than protocol or appropriate behavior. However, while the general public has largely forgotten Martha Mitchell's name, it does still come up regularly in mental health circles. Psychiatrists will occasionally speak of cases wherein someone is professionally diagnosed as being paranoid or delusional because they are saying incredible things that are completely nuts. But then it turns out that what they had been saying was actually true. They had not been crazy after all. This phenomenon is known as the Martha Mitchell Effect. And they're still doing things like that. So that's it for the news and commentary section this week. I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour with music. And for the music selection this week, we're going to go way back in time. This is Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee. Enjoy.
If you want to go somewhere and you don't have railroad fare, plane fare, train fare, boat fare, or don't have no fare, period, there's one way of getting there. I've been using the method for 25 years or more, me and old Sonny, and it seems to have paid off.
A higher debt, man.
Just walk on.
Well, let's go.
Walk on, walk on. Walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, walk on, I say walk on, I'm gonna keep on walking till I find my way back home. Well, your mind gets worried when your shoes get thin. You don't know where you're going, but you do know where you've been. Walk on, walk on, walk on, I'll walk on. I'm gonna keep on walking till I find my way back home. I see so many people happy, I can't get used to happiness. Maybe it is true, happiness is not for me, I guess. I'll walk on, walk on. Walk on, I'll walk on. I'm gonna keep on walking till I find my way back home. Walk on, Sonny boy, walk on, boy. Yeah.
can't get along, I'll walk on, walk on, walk on, I'll walk on. I'm gonna keep on walking till I find my way back home. One more time now. I'm gonna keep on walking till I find my way back home. Walk a little further. One more time now. I'm gonna keep on walking till I find my way back home. Let's walk together now. I'm gonna keep on walking till I find my way back home. Hey! Walk on. Go ahead, blow the fuses.
Got to blow the fuse, man. We got to do it. We got to do it. Well, I done blew the fuse. When you blow the fuel, man. Thank you. Let's go out, Bronnie.
Can't go out now. The lights ain't come on yet. This is the way to go. Look.
Yeah, that was Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, Blow the Fuse. Before that, we had Walk On, and we started off that set with Poor Boy. And if you're a fan of almost any kind of popular music today, be it rock or blues or even electronic and things like that, people like Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee were the grandfathers of all of that. So we're just about done here. I'm going to take this few seconds I got left to encourage you to donate to your public radio station. It's the only place you can get the truth these days, except for a few websites that are being suppressed by Google and Facebook and everybody. So it's easy to do. Just go to their website and please give them some money so we can keep doing this. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.